ever thrown you a curveball that you weren't sure what to do with? You know, the kind where you think, someone should really do something about this. Have you ever thought, maybe that someone is me? And then found yourself on a grand adventure you never saw coming? Me too. As a special needs mom, I have been saddened by what's available to my son. But instead of wallowing in it, I decided to do something about it. Along the way, I'm meeting extraordinary people and having the most wonderful experiences I never thought I'd have. I'm so inspired by what's happening around me that I want to share it all with you. Living Your Legacy is a community where ordinary people who've been called to create something bigger than themselves can come together to be inspired, connect, learn, and live into the legacies they want to see in the world. I'm your host, Michelle Slaney-Travato, and this is the Living Your Legacy podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Living Your Legacy show. I am your host, Michelle Slaney-Travato, and today I am so excited to share with you our guest on the call. If you are not yet hungry, you will be hungry for more by the time we get to the end of this episode, for sure. So I want to talk a little bit about a challenge that people have in creating a legacy. So lots of us have passion projects we work on or hobbies that we love. I love to quilt. I make scrap quilts and I donate them and it's so much fun. I bring together a little group of women 4 times a year and we make these quilts and it's great, right? It's a passion of mine. It's something I carve out time to do. It brings me peace and joy. In fact, I've named my sewing machine Grace because she's the only time I get grace and space in my day when I sit down to sew. But I've never thought about making that into an income until recently. And I want to talk about that because there are things that many of us, especially in the audience, passion projects or hobbies or a new skill that you're learning that you literally are falling in love with or have fallen in love with, and you so wish that it could become something more, whether that's a legacy of giving, something you want to create and give to the world, whether it's something that you want to do to help make other people's lives better, whether it is something that you'd love to create as a legacy business, an opportunity for yourself to literally live in your passion day in and day out. It's a challenge because a lot of times we just don't see the connect between this thing that we love to do and a means to create the change we're looking to change. Well, our guest today is all about that. She has had this extraordinary journey and now is doing some really cool things that are right in her passion area, things that she loves to do that she feels very strongly about. She is very good at. I can vouch for that personally. And that she is actually creating not just a legacy living for herself, but legacy opportunities for other people. So I would like to introduce you to her today and get her to share her story because it so excited me to hear about it that I had to bring it to you. This is my friend, Debbie Brosnan. Debbie loves all things food. See, I love her right there because I love food too. She found her way from personal chef to virtual cooking class instructor, and as she and her business adapted to the need of having virtual events. So there's a COVID reference in there for sure. Debbie is a passionate, self-taught home cook, and so many of us love to cook and experiment in the kitchen. She began her journey cooking alongside her mother and her grandmother as a young child. I just love that, and I can't wait to explore that a little bit. Her focus is on healthy food that tastes amazing, using simple recipes so that those who take her classes can continue to make their dishes and others in their own kitchens long after the class is over. Using these recipes that she's been teaching in class, Debbie actually wrote a cookbook called The Effortless Kitchen Cookbook: Simple, Healthy, and Delicious Recipes That Make Everyday Cooking Effortless. And it's become an Amazon bestseller. I'm going to get her to talk about that too. Debbie also leads, this is exciting, folks, culinary tours in Europe twice a year. And she's offering those for people who have the travel bug. She's got an upcoming one going to Barcelona and Sicily. Oh my gosh, if you want to travel and literally eat your way through Europe, how awesome is that? And Debbie's going to tell us all about it and where we can find that information a little bit later in the show. Debbie, I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And the intro is amazing. So I think your job is done. My job is done. Mic drop.
Well, I mean, I was just so excited in our connecting, and Debbie and I have connected several times before this call. And I had heard about her for at least a year before she and I actually connected from people who were like, Michelle, you have to meet this woman. And I thought, well, then I really kind of have to meet this woman. And hearing what she's been up to and what she's doing really excited me. So I couldn't wait to have you on. So before we talk about all things you're doing now, let's talk about back in the day. I'm guessing you probably didn't start out as a chef and a cook. So let's go with the question I ask everybody. When you were in grade four and the teacher asked you what you wanted to be when you grow up, was a chef the thing you said?
No. I actually had no idea in fourth grade. My parents were school teachers. I was like, I don't want to be a school teacher. Funny that I'm teaching people now, right?
Come full circle.
Not the traditional form of school teaching, but it's still education. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. So I did not start out in food. You are correct.
So tell us a little about what you did. Where did you go?
I thought that I might become a nutritionist because I still, at the age of 17, deciding upon college, was like, well, I enjoy food. What do I want to do for the rest of my life? I have no idea. Mm. Nutrition sounds great because restaurant chef did not sound appealing to me.
Okay.
And then I realized it was all science. Oh. So I backed out of that, went into the business program at my college, mm-hmm. and ended up as a CPA accountant in public accounting out of college for KPMG.
Wow. That is not anything to do with cooking.
No,
I mean, no. You know, I've heard of people cooking the books, but accountants are there to like solve that for you. So those are definitely not connected to be the idea of being in a kitchen and cooking food versus doing math and taxes and numbers and things like that. Although there is math in cooking for sure, but they're not super connected. So tell us what the evolution was for you from going from being a CPA to what you're doing today.
It was a long time of doing the accounting work and working in business to full-time stay-at-home mom for years, mm-hmm. to direct sales because it was a good side hustle, mm-hmm. hobby as a mom. Which actually helped me figure out kind of how to network with people and have conversations and meet people. Because the great thing about being an accountant is you could be shy and not speak to people and not put yourself out there. Well, having your own business is very different. Uh-huh. And being part of Polka Dot Powerhouse and hearing what all of those lovely women were doing for their own businesses just kind of opened my eyes to, I think I could do something in food that I want to do and not go get the full on education and not work in a restaurant and all the traditional things mm-hmm. that I thought I needed. And I started my business as a personal chef because I wanted to, when it boiled down to what I wanted to do, all I wanted to do was cook. And mm-hmm. I thought, let me see this, how this works. And it worked, and it worked right away. And it was amazing. And I was cooking for people and helping them and making their weekly meals. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic happened.
Yep. And gone is anything in person. Mm-hmm. So you had to clearly pivot, as many people did. But how do you take a hands-on tactile business like cooking and move that into the virtual sphere?
I basically did it based on organic needs of what was going on at the time, mm-hmm. where everybody was on social media in their homes, making meals for everybody in their homes, mm-hmm. asking, what's for dinner? I'm so bored. What are you making for dinner? So I just put on videos of what I was making for my own family, mm-hmm. and people liked it. And I kept doing more and more, and it turned into a paid class organically. So I never decided I want to put myself on camera in front of people live and do a, you know, a cooking class or a cooking show, as some people like to refer to it. It's certainly not. It's definitely interactive. But it really came out of the organic need of what people were looking for at the time.
That's amazing. I love that it grew organically as opposed to it being sort of a forced shift. Yes, it was a forced shift in that the world closed, but that you just were responding to what you were seeing on social media and sharing what you were doing. And people like, hey, could you show me how to do that too? Because they're home and they are wondering, like, I am so bored with my own cooking. I have said that probably 100 times in the last year. I'm so bored of my own cooking. Yep. I really wish I had some new recipes that were healthy and nutritious and easy to make and didn't require like really odd, hard to find ingredients, you know, because sometimes in cookbooks, I look at them, I'm like, I don't even know what some of these ingredients are. So I don't know what that is. I'm not even sure where I would get it, and I'm out. So I wanted those things myself. And I love that that's kind of how that happened. So tell us a little bit about how that grew into your cookbook.
So it turned into a regular class. So I was teaching every week virtually, and I had amassed a bunch of recipes of my creation and the ones I was teaching, and I didn't repeat recipes. So at the time when I wrote the cookbook, I had a pretty good amount stored up, but it wasn't my idea. It was one of my clients who on screen kept showing me his binder of my recipes saying, I have your cookbook. I have your cookbook. And I'm like, what is going on? He has my cookbook. I have my cookbook. Why don't I write a cookbook? So you can see how things happen for me. It's like, it's not like, ooh, I need to do this, so I'm going to create it. It's, oh, I have this, I should put it out there. Or, oh, there's a need, let me build it.
Thank you for being a part of the Living Your Legacy podcast community in 2022. We can honestly say 2023 is going to be an exciting year. We've got some new things going on that we'd like to share with you. The Living Your Legacy podcast is now offering advertising spots. We found many entrepreneurs spent lots of money on advertising last year, only to find that they weren't falling in front of their ideal audience. We'd love to help you get your message out. Let's discuss this. Click the link in the show notes to book a time to chat and see if this could be a good fit for you. That's beautiful. I love that. And I love that you give credit to your client. That's so sweet.
Absolutely.
For him actually putting the idea in your head to go ahead and do that. I love that. And one of the things that I was really excited about when I connected with Debbie was around our caregiver summits that we've talked about that I co-host with my friend Katie Kalmeyer, that we were wondering if Debbie would put together an instructional video on creating a recipe that caregivers could do with their loved one. So whether it's a parent with a child with disabilities or an adult who's got a parent who is aging and maybe is not as able anymore in the kitchen, but they could do it together to create that time and the space and the love and the experience. And if you're in my house, the pictures of the event that, you know, you want to just keep and share. And then you'd be able to sit and eat together knowing that the meal was nutritious, because that's always a concern when you're a caregiver, that your people have their nutritional needs met, that the meal was easy to do, that it was with supplies that we would normally have in our own house anyway. And it was so exciting to work with Debbie. She was really excited about the opportunity, and she went away and tried some things and came back and sent me a video of one of her classes and asked for feedback on it so that she could create something very tailored to our group. And I love that. And the recipe, I haven't yet made it, but I've been told by a few people who have that it was exceptionally delicious and is now on their favorites list. So that's pretty exciting. Now, tell us a little bit about the other side of your business where you work with businesses around health and nutrition. I'm curious about that.
So it became very clear to me that there are people who are not necessarily cooking for themselves because they are confused or they don't know how or they're afraid or all of those things. So I do education based around gaining confidence in the kitchen, enjoying cooking, tips and tricks on how to do that, as well as doing the virtual cooking classes. So we're in the beginning of when my business started and pandemic times, where companies were coming to me for the one-off, we need a holiday event that is now no longer in person. We're doing it virtually. Can you do a cooking program for us for an evening? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Versus, let me have you come in and do a 4 times a year or whatever it is, more regular education and classes for our employees for health and wellness benefits. Because it seems logical, but I will say it, that if you know what's in your food and you're eating healthier foods, whole ingredients, and not a lot of prepared items, pre-prepared or pre-packaged items in your meals, then you're getting the health benefit of having that nutritious food, which leads into all sorts of other benefits for your body, for your mind, for your wallet.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that companies were reaching out to you for that, to be able to support their employees. Because, you know, you hear all the negative stuff on the news. So you don't often hear about companies that are saying, hey, we want to do more for our employees so that they can continue to be healthy and, you know, have better knowledge of food and nutrition and things like that, because it better supports them, which in turn supports our business. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it makes them feel supported and appreciated. So there's a retention component there, mm-hmm. as well as a reduction in healthcare costs, mm-hmm. because their employees are healthier.
Yeah. And not
to mention, benefit to everybody.
Yeah. Not to mention the health benefits to the employees as mm-hmm. well, right? Like mm-hmm. nobody wants to feel gross. And mm-hmm. you know, healthcare is a crisis situation pretty much all over the world. And people are looking for more ways to help take care of themselves, more knowledge and skills. So I think that's just extraordinary that those companies did that. Way to go, whoever they are, because that's actually quite impressive. And again, we don't know who's listening to this. Maybe there's an employer who's like, hey, that's a really great idea. And what a unique opportunity. For employees to get connected in a very different way than I'm sitting at my desk, you're sitting at yours, we're talking about work-related things. Now we can talk about food, we can talk about cooking, we can share some of those things where I'm like, I'm afraid of this, or what's your weird food thing? Because lots of people have a weird food thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a tactile thing or a sense of touch or smell or taste, and you can have a lot of giggles and laughter over all that, people's weird little food things. Everybody's allowed to have one for sure. So that could be a great way to build camaraderie in the workplace too, when people have that mm-hmm. opportunity through an activity to get to know each other differently. So that can exactly. also blossom into mm-hmm. friendships and more collegiality, which is great. Who doesn't want more of that in their workplace for sure? Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that that happened. That's really exciting. So now tell me about these trips. This is the part that like just literally leaves me drooling, because I watched all the pictures of your trip last year. So how did that all come to be? Obviously, that came up just at the end of COVID. So it's not a natural connection to people staying at home. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I guess out of everything that I have been doing with my business, that is the thing that I was like, I need this. I need to create this. Mm-hmm. I love to travel, and I had missed it during the early stages of the pandemic. And during that time when we were all home, I did a lot of networking and a lot of meetings and just hearing what other people were doing. And it never even occurred to me that I could do a retreat based on food and the food experiences and cooking. Mm-hmm. I always had this impression that those trips were based on, I don't know, mindset, business, mm-hmm. money, like all of those things. Maybe even like fitness, like yoga. I'd heard about those types of retreats, meditation, mm-hmm. but never heard about ones that were just centered on food and that kind of passion. And when I figured out that I could do it after being in a seminar about retreats, I was like, oh, sign me up. Let me know how can I do this? And it mm-hmm. took me about a year to roll out the first one. And we did it in the US because at the time people were still afraid to travel. Mm-hmm. So we did it in Napa and it was incredible. You know, what happens in these experiences, we go for 6 nights and we do cooking classes there taught by a local expert. Mm-hmm. Not me, because I'm not the local expert, especially when we travel overseas. Mm-hmm. We do food excursions. We do wine education. Some of them we live in a house together. Other times we are at hotels in the city center and we get to explore the cities right out of the door. But what happens very early on is that everybody's coming for the same reason or similar reasons, that we are so interested in travel and food mm-hmm. that we have that common connection. So when we sit around a table, I feel like food is a great connector. Mm-hmm. That we sit around a table, all these conversations just kind of blossom. And then people really get to know each other first around what our food experiences are. But then it broadens and then people find their commonalities in other areas. And it's great to watch.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that. I love that you either stay all together in one place. Because again, once you get up from the table, it's nice to have more time to be mm-hmm. able to spend together, particularly, as you said, when people start figuring out like, hey, I didn't know you did that. I do that too. Or, wow, I've always wanted to do that. Let's talk about that some more. They're in the same space, then they have the opportunity to do that. Or if they need their time, they can go and do whatever they're doing. Or being in the city center, like surrounded by what's going on in that community. One of the things that I've always heard about traveling and have loved myself is talking to the locals. Because often when you speak to a hotel, they'll give you the touristy places to go. The yeah. locals have their own places and they're often way better than any touristy place. So we like to get out and meet locals and just say, hey, where would you go to eat? This is what we're looking for. And those recommendations have taken us to some very unique places, often little hole in the wall places, like not super posh looking necessarily or popular, line up out the door, that kind of thing. But the food was incredible. The service was awesome. And the locals were amazing in that they were super curious about us and what's going on. And so we're having conversations across tables with people who were really interested. And again, great way to say, all right, so what's some good things for us to see? This is our family. Here's who we are. Where can we go? Like, it's just been an incredible experience. And I love that you are creating that experience for people. I would imagine that takes a bit of effort to organize that.
It does. I partner with somebody who's local, though, because like I said, I'm not the local expert and I want to make it very unique. It's not a cookie cutter. You know, I'm buying a package and selling it. Like, that's not what I do. I am partnering with this person and saying, this is what the experience that I want. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of back and forth until we get to what I feel is the perfect experience. Mm-hmm. And I always know, I'm like, why am I not making the decision? It's just, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like, oh, we need to know. And, you know, this is the amount of time you have to decide. I'm like, I'll decide when I'm ready. Like, I want it to be the perfect experience for the people who are coming to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a reflection on me and my business. And I want it to be the experience of a lifetime is what it's been referred to. I mean, some people are coming to me and they've never traveled outside of the country before, out of their own country before, or they've mm-hmm. never traveled solo before.
Yep.
And I open it up to all. It's not just a women's trip. It's for everybody. I've got couples coming. I have solo female travelers, a lot of those, because they feel comfortable in a group setting.
Yep.
mother-daughter, mother-son. My next trip, I have grandmother-grandson. I love that one.
That is so sweet.
So yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Again, it's very curated. You've curated something that really is. I love that it's like a legacy trip. This is a, you know, you want to live this incredible life and have these incredible memories. Taking a culinary trip like that is often not something that people think of. I mean, we tend to think of it as being for people who are wealthy. This is something they can do and the rest of us really can't because that seems so expensive, for lack of a better word. And I know your trips are not super over the top expensive, right?
It's important to me to make it as affordable as I can. I've seen a lot of trips out there and I'm like, oof. What are they offering that makes it so pricey? So, you know, I want to make it as affordable as I can. That's also important to make it accessible to people.
Yes, because of course that creates that opportunity for people to step into their own legacy experiences much more often when it is affordable for people. I love that. And I know a few people who went on your last trip to Italy who came back absolutely raving about it and left me completely hungry for more. Now, you just went on a surprise trip yourself. So do tell us about that. I want to know how that all came up and what that was like.
Well, when you think about food experiences, for me, my husband asked me, like, where would be the place that you'd like your ideal place to travel that you've never been before. This was a few years ago. And I said, Japan. And it's just, you know, it's like a far trip and all these things. I live on the East Coast of the US. And a friend was going for work. And I said, I'm coming with you. And it was a very last minute thing. But I figured I'm going to jump on the opportunity because you never know when it's going to present itself. And like planning a trip takes a lot of work, which is why I do what I do. And people come to me because everything's planned. So not having to think about, oh, when am I going? Where am I going? Where am I staying? All of those things. It was all, we're going to Tokyo. It's this many days that, you know, if you want to go for longer or shorter, and I just had to book my flight and then figure out what we're going to do every day. And it was incredible. And I also had never traveled solo before. So I've flown myself before myself. That's not a big deal. But getting to a foreign destination and navigating and all of that, and then doing 3 days on my own was quite the experience. And it also put me in the shoes of my guests who come solo. And I get the hesitation and the anxiety and all of those fears that come up before the trip, which I also had. And then I was like, oh, it's totally fine. I could do this. It was such a great experience and also one that I'm trying to build into my own program. So for future.
Super exciting. So there's Europe trips and potential trips to Japan and so many opportunities. And I love that you literally took your passion for cooking with your mom and your grandmother, and you have now rolled it into not just a means to create your own life, but to help influence and impact positively the lives of so many people in a wide variety of ways, like at work, at home, and now in travel. So there's so many options there for people to really look to take care of themselves, to enjoy cooking, to enjoy the experience of cooking, to enjoy now larger experiences surrounding cooking. Pretty amazing stuff. I absolutely love it. And I know that people are going to want to know more about what you are doing. You happen to have a couple of freebies that you're offering to people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So because people don't know me, I like to have an offering where people can get a taste, and pun intended, right? Of what I do. And so I have a free recipe and recorded class that you can get just by going to my website. And if it's not popping up for you as a pop-up, just scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's always a link there to join. It's join the mailing list and you'll get the free recipe. And what I love about this recipe is you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a lot of experience in the kitchen to make it. And you don't have to have a lot of ingredients. It's simple and it's delicious and it's easy to make. And it's my potato leek soup with grilled cheese croutons. And it's just yummy. And you don't even need to have knife skills. Like, it's, you can just chop up the things, throw them in the pot because you're going to blend it. So
that just sounds amazing. I did say at the beginning of this, I was going to be left hungry. And here I am, like, oh, that sounds delicious. I love it. So do tell us now, what is your website? It'll be in the show notes, but I love having my guests actually share their websites with people. So where can they go find this?
So it's my business name, TheEffortlessKitchen.com. So that's my website. And then if you love food photos and stuff, find me on Instagram. I'm The Effortless Kitchen by Debbie. And what else do we need to know? All my trips are on there as well. So you can find everything about me on the website.
That's amazing. I love that. So Debbie, just before we kind of end the show, I love to give people some practical tips, things that they can take away and put into action. If somebody is listening to this and they've got something that they're passionate about, that they really wish that they could turn into either a means to make an income or a way to create a legacy for themselves and others, what would some tips be that you can give them just to kind of start figuring it out?
So I feel like, you know, I'm not going to pull the Nike slogan. I can't claim it's my own, but just go for it. Like, really, like, just do it is kind of like the big thing, because I feel like there's so much that can go on in your head trash. Let's, you know, imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it, of you saying that you're going to talk yourself out of it because. Mm-hmm. You may even hear that from other people around you, like, oh, that's too hard. Or why would you do that? Or nobody's going to be interested. Like, don't listen to that, because you know in your heart, like, it's something that you really enjoy and that you want to share. Mm-hmm. And doesn't need to be perfect to put it out there. I think that's the big thing, is sometimes people want to have like all of the things in place before they even get it going. Mm-hmm. But sometimes getting it going will tell you what you need. Mm-hmm. For instance, in my business, I did the classes before I built my website, before I added on other offerings, because how was I going to know exactly what I needed to do, mm-hmm, to launch my personal chef business, to get myself really going, because I was dragging my feet for fear of nobody wanting it. Mm-hmm. I scheduled a launch party for myself a few months out so that I would do the things that I needed to do to get myself to that point.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Some great tips there. So addressing some of the internal complaints that we have, the things that we say to ourselves that we would never say to another human being outside our head. So addressing some of that, not focusing on perfection. And funny you should mention that. I just did a post about that yesterday, talking about, as a special needs mom, my son made his bed. It is not the way I would make his bed. It did not look anything like if I did it, but it's about progress over perfection. I love what you said about starting and then listening to what your audience, your guests, your clients are saying will help to guide you to where you need to go. And mm-hmm, when you listen to other people's needs, they will follow you because you're addressing their needs in a way that makes them feel seen and heard and valued. So important. I love that. And then looking at just setting a timeline for yourself, because yeah, you said you drag your feet. I think we all do that because we're nervous, we're scared, we wonder, like you, is anybody going to want this, be a part of this, be interested at all in anything I have to say? We ask ourselves that question all the time. But setting a launch party date and then kind of figuring out what you want that to look like and who you're going to invite sets you up right there to actually get started, because you got a date that you're advertising, to promote it. So you have people that are committed to coming. So you don't have to worry about, well, will nobody show, because you're going to work on having that happen. And then to set you up for success moving forward, because they will then spread the word on your behalf as well. Some amazing tips there on what to do if you've got this passion project or a passion hobby that you'd really like to move into a bigger portion of your life. Love all of that. Debbie, I cannot thank you enough for being on the call today. again, I love to travel, love to eat, love to try new food. I think what you're doing in your business and in your life and in this legacy you're creating touches so many lives globally, has opportunities for people to connect in ways they would never connect otherwise, and so many opportunities to create positive ripples in the world. That is so extraordinary. Thank you so much for being on the call today. I am definitely left hungry for more.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
You are so welcome. And for everybody in our audience, I just want to remind you that Debbie and I think you are awesome too. Go start living your legacy today. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please submit a rating and review and share it with a friend. Together, we can inspire more people to start living their legacy too. And let's keep the conversation going. We would love to hear all about your journey in living your legacy and support you along the way. Join our Facebook community, Living Your Legacy Podcast, where we connect, collaborate, and celebrate each other. Can't wait to see you there.